Good morning. Once again, it is just such a privilege to be able to open God's Word with you. Today, I've been thinking about the things that are going on in our world. If you've been watching the news, if you've been reading or watching what people are saying on social media, there's a lot to think about. And perhaps you're thinking to yourself, as a Christian, how am I to respond? And I've been thinking about that a lot. And this week, there's a passage that has been on my mind. And I'd like for us to read it. It's Colossians chapter 3. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me. Colossians chapter 3. And we'll just read down to verse 17. So Colossians chapter 3, starting in verse 1, says, "If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Therefore put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you also once walked when you lived in them. But now you must also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Neither is where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." You know, it's often been said two of the big questions that people ask in life is, do I matter? And why am I here? What is the meaning to life? Those are the two big questions. And at the beginning of Colossians, Paul addresses that, right? He's talking about the Lord Jesus and gives this tremendous description of him. But he says in chapter 1, "For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things." He says, all things were created through him and for him. See, the Lord Jesus is the one who takes the credit for creation. I mean, we read about that in the book of Genesis, right? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And here we see that it was through Jesus, it was through God the Son, that that creation came to be. He was the agent of creation. And it says, all things were created for him. And we know that God created man, both male and female, in his own image. So every person is created in the image of God. And we read from the Psalms, right, that God has knit us in our mother's womb. He is the one who took a personal interest in making us who we are. And we read here, and we were created for him. Everyone you've ever met, everyone that you know, everyone that you don't know, has been created by him and for him. Every person is a soul for whom Christ died. We read it in general, right, about what the Lord Jesus said in John chapter 3. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. We read about how God loves the world, all of the people, which is true, but he also loves you individually. Right? He knows you, he created you, he knit you in your mother's womb, and he says, you've been created for him. So the question of, do I matter? Does my life matter? Is yes, absolutely. And as I've been watching the news, I've been reading what people are saying on social media, we know that there are a lot of protests taking place, definitely in the States. Even here in Barrie, we've had it, people protesting. And I don't want to get into what my thoughts are, what your thoughts are about all of that. I'm not even going to talk about the other things that spring up, the rioting, the looting. That's not what I want to talk about. But I do want to talk about this real issue of people who are hurting. People who are trying to bring awareness to a felt need, right? And we may see in person or on the computer, on television, people shouting a phrase or holding up a sign that says, Black Lives Matter. And for many people, that might evoke certain emotions. And I want to talk about that. I don't even want to talk about the Black Lives Matter movement. But what about the sentiment? Knowing that every single person is created by God, by the Lord Jesus, and they were created for him. Of course, as a Christian, as a believer, we would say, yes, Black lives matter. Every single one of those people matter to God. So much so that he would give his son as a sacrifice so that they might have forgiveness of sins, a hope in this world, and a home in heaven. We should be able to show compassion. It does not mean that that you have to shout it from the rooftops. I'm not saying that we need to join a march or a protest. But we need to have compassion for people. Yes, passion for the people protesting. Even passion for people, compassion for people who are doing things we don't agree with. Like rioting and looting and the violence. No, we wouldn't condone that. But we need to be able to see them as the Lord sees them and have compassion. I grew up in the South, and I could probably spend a lot of time telling you stories from my own experience, but it's not about me. It's not about my perception of things or what I think motivates people or who's behind what. I don't want to talk about that. But what I can say is that I care, and that we as Christians can and should care at a very profound level. I don't think it's right for us to ignore it. I don't think it's right for us to pretend like it's not a problem. And probably the most important thing for us to do is to get on our knees and pray. Pray for these people who are hurting. Pray for these people who no doubt have suffered prejudices against them just because of the color of their skin. Does that happen? Yeah, absolutely it happens. And we can have compassion for them. And we can pray for them. As a church leader, I want to say unequivocally that racism is wrong. Judging someone simply by the color of their skin or where they live, attach whatever you want to attach it to, that is sinful. That is wickedness. And because we stand on the Word of God, we know about the character of God, and we know that that is not taught in the Bible. And it is clearly sinful. And so we would reject that right out of hand. As we think about this, when we look at the world around us, what do you see? And if you're like me, when you look around, you see that this world is broken. It's broken. We know from the Bible that because sin entered into the world, that now it is under the effects of the fall of man. People are sinful. The world is under the curse of the fall. In 1 Timothy 1:15 it says, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." The Apostle Paul viewed himself as the chief of all sinners. So when we think of ourselves, do we recognize our own sinfulness? I'm not talking about self-hatred. I'm not talking about apologizing for something that you're not guilty of. But do we see our own sinfulness? And when we see that, it should highlight just the amount of love that the Heavenly Father has given to us. His mercy, His forgiveness knows no end. And that is why we can be empathetic, we can be sympathetic, we can show compassion to other people. we are to examine ourselves, right? We are to, because of our position in Christ, knowing that He created us, that our life matters, and knowing why we're here, that we were created for Him. And what did it say in verse 3 of chapter 3? For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Praise God. If you know and love the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, your life is hidden in, or I should say, with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. And guess what? One day, Christ will appear. One day, Christ will rule on this earth. He will be the perfect government on earth. He will reverse the curse. He will deal justice perfectly. He will ultimately one day deal with sin once and for all. So when we look around at our broken world, does that mean that we give up? The world's broken. It's not going to be fixed till Jesus comes, so I give up. No. And I believe that God calls some Christians to speak out. I believe He calls some Christians to serve in government. But for every single one of us, we can say without a shadow of a doubt, that we should examine ourselves. He says in verse 5, therefore, put to death your members. Don't be pointing the finger. Don't be looking out and thinking about how other people should be acting, how other people should be living their lives. Look at yourself. He doesn't say, since you've been created by God and you're created for Him, and you know your life is hidden in with Christ and God, therefore correct everyone else. No, He says, therefore put to death your members which are on the earth: fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desires, covetousness, which is idolatry. He says, because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. When we see sin in other people, we should be able to identify with that. Yes, that same wickedness is in my own heart. And I want to put those things off. He says, but now you yourselves put off all these. Anger. I got to tell you, if I watch too much news, if I'm reading too many things, comments about the news on social media, I get an anger that rises up. I'm to put that off. Put off anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of Him who created him. So I put on the new man according to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Are we doing this? Are we getting caught up with what's going on and what's not right in the world and neglecting to deal with ourselves? So I'm to put on the new man according to the image of him who created me, the Lord Jesus. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, black, white, brown, pink, whatever color. We call it racism, but it's not really racism. There's one race, the human race, right? Of one blood. But Christ is all and in all. He goes on. What are we to put on? Verse 12, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies. I don't know if you've had the opportunity to talk about these things with other people. Maybe on social media, maybe in other ways. Are your words filled with tender mercies? Kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Does the peace of God rule in your heart? I have to confess, sometimes it doesn't. That's why I need to perhaps turn off the news. Take a break from social media. Get on my knees. Get into His Word. So that the peace of God can rule in my heart. He says, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the God, to God the Father through Him. Down in verse 23, he says it a different way. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. Knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. For you serve the Lord Christ, but he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done, and there is no partiality. See, there's an aspect of this whole thing that we can rest in the fact that no one gets away with sin. I don't get away with sin. You don't get away with sin. No one gets away with sin. We may think we see someone and we see how they're living wickedly and it seems like life is going great for them. Rest assured, no one gets away with sin. Whether it's in this life or the one to come, sin will be dealt with. And God has not made you the one who is to mete out justice. So we need to be careful. Every person is made in the image of God. They bear the marks of their Creator. They have His fingerprint on them. So we need to think about that when we encounter someone, maybe with a different political view than we have. When we encounter someone who maybe they are sinning against us. They are still made in the image of God, and He loves them. we can look forward to eternal realities, right? That's our hope, right? That one day we will see the Lord Jesus and we will be like him, that we will be with him forevermore, that sin will be done away with, that sickness and pain and death will be done away with. We have a tremendous hope. So as we look at the world around us and we see the brokenness, we see the despair, we should be able to look beyond that. And to let the love of Christ flow through us. We function in two different worlds, right? We're still here. We still battle the flesh. We still have to pay our bills. We still have to live in this world. But if we are in Christ, right? Our citizenship is in heaven. We've been made aware of another realm, another world, right? The kingdom of God. Are we kingdom-minded? Or are we stuck only thinking about the temporary things? We were made for him. What that tells me is that it's not about me, right? This world does not revolve around me. This world does not revolve around you. But my life should revolve around him. Every decision I make, every encounter I have with another person should be dictated by who I am in Christ. It really is a worldview shift, right? Before Christ or those who have yet to come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus, it is all about them. It is all about advancing their career, about doing what makes them happy, doing what's right for them, doing whatever to fulfill their own desires. But when we are in Christ, we realize we were created for a purpose, for him. And now my life revolves around him, and it totally changes our worldview. Now, I know that there are some believers, they're not there yet, right? They're still treating God like he's some kind of cosmic gumball machine, right? If I put in the right effort, if I pray the right prayers, if I do the right things, then God's going to bless. They're focused on the Lord blessing them. Lord, bless me. Give me this. Give me that. He's here to give to me, is their mindset. 2 Timothy 2, 1 through 4 says, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things which you've heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one entangled in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier." Right. So one of the things here, we know that we are to be building one another up. Right. As the Apostle Paul spoke to Timothy, there's so many layers of discipleship, right? The example and the teaching of Paul. He's teaching Timothy. Timothy's supposed to teach him the faithful men, and they're going to teach others who can teach. It just continues on. So each and every one of us, saints, you are to be engaged in this at some level, right? There should be at least one person in your life in which you're helping to build them up. You're helping to teach them. This should be part of the Christian experience. It says, endure hardship. No one entangled in warfare, spiritual warfare, entangles himself with the affairs of this life. that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. Look, if you're watching the news, if you're captivated by the social media, and all of this is affecting you, you're getting angry, perhaps you're getting depressed, turn it off. Let's get on our knees. Let's get back in the Word. Let's let him change us first. And then maybe he will use us to change others. We also need to be careful what we say. I've seen some pretty awful things being said to other people, about other people, people who don't agree with them politically. I've seen some pretty nasty things. Some of that's aimed at our leaders, right? And some of these things that I've read have been said by Christians. We need to be careful. They're saying things about our leaders. Now, you may not agree with how they govern. You may not agree with the decisions they make. But we have some pretty clear instructions, right, in Romans, of how we're to submit to the governing authorities, or to obey. We need to be careful how we talk. In James 3, 9 and 10, he says, talking about the tongue, "With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so." He's saying, every person is made in the likeness of God. We should not curse men. We need to be careful what we say. Matter of fact, just before that, James is talking about people coming into the church and giving preference to people who appear to be wealthy and looking down and not giving good treatment to people who appear to be poor. He doesn't bring up the race issue there, but it's the same principle. We need to be very careful. I've seen on social media where people are getting into some pretty heated discussions online because they disagree with someone's political views, or they don't agree with someone's take on what's going on with all of these protests. And there's some pretty awful things being said. And some of the people saying those awful things are Christians. And some of them are saying some pretty nasty things about our leaders of Canada and the United States. And we've got some pretty clear instructions in Romans about how we're to submit to our governing authorities. And, they're just people, just like us. We need to be careful. What we are called to do is to be salt and light in this world. And whether it's on social media or in person, we need to be careful how and what we say. We need to live for Him in everything, in the big things and what we think might be the small things. He's touched on what we are to put off and exhorted us into what we're to put on. So as we're thinking about the things happening in our world, we need to remember that we are to shine as lights. Yes, this world is a dark place. Yes, there are people doing sinful things. We need to have compassion. He is the one who will reward us. One day we will see Him face to face. So let's ask Him for help as we strive to have compassion, as we strive to look within and ask the Lord to help us to deal with the sin in our own lives and then to be a light in this dark world. Heavenly Father, we ask for help. We think about all of the things that we see happening in our world, and we just pray that you would intercede. We pray for peace. We pray for people to have understanding hearts. We pray that you would comfort those who are hurting. We pray that you would protect those who are in danger. And we pray that you would grant wisdom to the leaders of our land. And we just pray that you would help us as your saints, that we would look to ourselves and seek to continue to be changed by you, that we would put off anger and malice and all of these works of the flesh, and that we would put on compassion, long-suffering, and we would be shining lights in this dark world that would point people to the Lord Jesus Christ. We need your help. We ask for your help. And we pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, thank you once again for the opportunity to share with you, and I look forward to being with you again soon.